In the late 19th century, a pocket of remote Colorado high country buzzed with the rush for gold and silver. The bust that followed left resilient settlers in places like Crested Butte and Aspen, where winter solitude was a way of life. The only link to the outside was a group of skiing postmen who carried supplies, letters, and hope. Today, to celebrate that legacy, there's the Elk Mountain Grand Traverse, a 40-mile backcountry ski race from Crested Butte to Aspen. Jason Albert attended the 2012 edition, and he has this report.
Listen for a moment. It's the same sound heard in these mountains for generations, the kick and glide of skis.
In the early days, we had a couple of guys who were legendary postmen.
That's Wayne Vanderbush, a local skier and history professor.
Man, one guy named Al Johnson from Crystal, deep in the mountains. And this guy would carry the mail once a week from Crystal to Crested Butte and then back on skis. And he went through some of the worst avalanche country in the world, practically.
Deep snows and epic journeys were part of life. For some, that's still true today. The Grand Traverse is a 40-mile ski race over terrain similar to what Al Johnson endured. In a conference room in the Grand Ballroom at Mount Crested Butte, crowds of sinewy skiers have their gear checked by race organizers. First-time participants Brad Bergdorf and Matt Madsen empty their packs. Their assortment of warm clothing, spare ski parts, and food resembles a yard sale. Racers participate in teams of two and carry loads of mandatory equipment. Race volunteer Tally Morrison carefully examines the gear they're required to have.
You need minimum of 100 ounces of water, a headlamp. Each of you has to have a headlamp, and we have to have a spare headlamp.
That's the spare,
okay. Sunglasses, goggles, and sunscreen.
During the race, whiteout conditions are often a possibility. So race organizers preach self-sufficiency. Skiers must carry gear to navigate avalanche terrain and survive the night out. Former Grand Traverse winner Brian Wickenhauser knows anything's possible on the steep slopes.
If it's not the gear, it's the weather. And if it's not the weather, it's looking inward in yourself. Did I train hard enough this year? Did my partner train hard enough this year? Who, you know, there's so many variables involved. And that's what's so fun, is just the allure of trying to run a clean race, so to speak, and have everything dialed.
It's nearly 11 p.m. Moments before the start, organizers ensure each racer's avalanche beacon functions.
Number?
I think it's 101.
It is 101. All right. Good. Number? 55.
Some are here simply to finish. They're tweaking packs, second-guessing. Others stretch in Lycra speed suits, fasten carbon fiber boots. At the base of Crested Butte Mountain Resort, skiers line up, music pumps. It's festive, like an alpine Mardi Gras. Skiers await Father Tim Clark's blessing of the skiers.
All right, you guys ready for a little dose of the Holy Ghost?
Woo! Hearken ye Nordic warriors to this blessing now in verse. For the quest that you share will require all your hearts.
Skis anxiously slide back and forth.
Now give a great cheer for this great Grand Traverse race!
The headlamps from 150 teams glow like a singular mass, illuminating the snow. The racers speed away and crest the first of many hills. It's been a dry winter. So along with a few miles of dirt trail, skiers encounter creek crossings. At the higher altitudes, they must endure Star and Taylor passes. Then it's 10 difficult miles of rolling terrain. And with the freeze-thaw cycle here in full swing, the snowpack is bulletproof at the start. The next morning, 33 miles into the race, I'm at the Barnard Hut. All racers remain here for a mandatory 10-minute medical check.
141. Did you get 141 parts?
Two of you?
Yep.
Welcome to the Barnard Hut.
Have you got 141 parts?
I see Matt and Brad, the team from the gear check. They're sipping warm ramen, smiling, and soaking up sunshine. Matt says it's been tougher than it appears.
It's been a struggle at points. There's been points where we've really been good,
and really just going with it. And then there's been points where either both of us are struggling.
Among his problems are blisters and a spell of low blood sugar midway through the race. Despite that, he's been doing well.
And then right here, this hill, I ate it at the top, and I actually ejected out of my skis, and they ran the entire hill all the way down.
For others like Adam Farrow, it seems Star Pass, perhaps the steepest, most exposed ascent on the route, made the legs shaky.
Yeah, I didn't realize how steep Star Pass was, and then I, you know, kind of peered over. I was like, this is going to be scary. So, and I ended up just hiking down most, or a lot of it, or like that head wall at least.
Adam's soon racing off. It's mid-morning, sunny and warming. The snow's slushy and it's slow going. From here, it's a grinding 7 miles to the top of Aspen Mountain. Atop the ski area, racers ski a sloppy 3,000-foot groomed run to the finish. It turns out race winners Brian Wickenhauser and Brian Smith finished at dawn in a record time of 7 hours, 32 minutes.
Oh, and now, here we go, into the finish.
By late afternoon, teams still struggle in, but they're all greeted like winners. Matt and Brad finish in 13 hours and 47 minutes. They're not planning to rent gear next year. Patrick O'Neill, a member of the second-place team, is a school teacher from Crested Butte. He says the Grand Traverse is part of the communal fabric.
And seeing people finish like a father-daughter team, and seeing people, like people will say, wow, that's amazing you did it in that time. I'm watching people who have been out on their skis for 15 hours. They're the champs. People who have done it to think about somebody they just lost to cancer. And there's all of these things taking place that just make it a true community event. It's a classic, an absolute classic.
O'Neill's humility speaks to the race's core, that some people make the best of their place in the world. It's been like this here since the skiing mail carriers. Snow and the rugged landscapes between two points on a map are a calling. For Only a Game, I'm Jason Albert.
Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti. Our intern is Jeremy Conlin. We had help this week from Amanda Art. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view Jason Albert's Grand Traverse pictures or Karen Given's Magic Bird photo gallery, please visit onlyagame.org. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word this week comes from Grand Traverse volunteer Tally Morrison.
Map, 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 map. You need a map.
Really? You need a map for a little old 40-mile ski race conducted partially in the dark? I guess. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. The Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for improving education and enrichment for children, both in and out of school, at wallacefoundation.org. And the Poetry Foundation, celebrating 100 years of Poetry Magazine, online at poetryfoundation.org. This is NPR.